Hi, I am Johnny Swagger from Tail Light Rebellion, checking in here at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, where we stop on our tours to get quality gear at a very affordable price.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, my pleasure, man.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
You know, I'd buy you a parachute if I thought it wouldn't open.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpack, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home. Used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Welcome back to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, Three Men and a Microphone, and this is your local news with Michael Yarger from Canandaigua, Facebook 2020.
Okay. So let's get into our top story. Christine Grossadonia brought this out to us, and she's telling us about the Tide Pods Challenge. Now, I thought, oh, they're doing some kind of laundry thing here where, whose laundry detergent gets clothes the cleanest. No, apparently kids are eating these things, and they're doing it intentionally. You know, you hear occasionally about some infant or whatever that gets into these things and starts eating them, but apparently they kind of look like candy, and so kids are challenging each other to eating these things. And all I could think of was back to the Little Rascals. Do you remember the fella, was it Alfalfa, I think, that used to sing? And he'd have those soap bubbles coming out of it.
Yeah, and he had that one little thing, the hair that was sticking up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But talk about dumb. I mean, who would do this kind of thing?
Does it do something for you to eat the Tide?
No, it doesn't get you high or anything like that. It's just, an attempt to try to outdo your fellow idiot. I don't know a better way to phrase it.
You're filling your body with soap.
Basically, you're ingesting or eating these things, and, you know, I don't know what the record is or anything like that. I don't really care.
It's kind of like when your mom used to wash your mouth out with soap.
Well, we all used to do stupid stuff, right, back when we were in high school. Eating goldfish, right, was something, you know, I'm sure that was not the healthiest thing. But, I mean, eating Tide Pods, I don't get it, so.
Man, and there's really nothing, no benefit or you know, right. I mean, there's got to be a worse
word. Well,
what's
the benefit of eating a goldfish?
right. Just to see.
Right.
Whether you're dumb enough to do it.
Right.
Kind of like
it was the dumbest.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Anything, Armin?
No. Okay. Do we have a winner?
No, we don't have a winner. Only losers.
We'll bring them on, though. If we get a winner, we'll bring them on.
See, it worries me because there was some radio show that had a water eating drinking contest, but you can't go to the bathroom. And you can actually drown from
that.
Yes,
you can.
You can actually have too much, you know, and I noticed once I got unhealthy, and the doctor said, you drink water. Well, I went home, I'll do what I'm told now. I just almost got unhealthy, you know what I mean, like to the point of really hurting myself.
Right.
So I started drinking water. And after a while, it seemed like if I drank another bottle of water, I had to go to the bathroom, a bottle of water. And I'm like, I must be all filled up. There was a limit.
Yeah.
But if you can't go, then I guess you could drown.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's healthy levels of consumption of water, right? And you should not be having too little water, because then you get dehydrated, and that causes all kinds of health problems. Or if you have too much water, that can create health problems. Your kidneys have a hard time processing it all.
Well, they're always on my case. You don't drink enough water. I tell them there's water in my coffee. There's water in my shower. Why do I need regular water?
Did you say that we have 30 minutes to do an hour?
Yeah, well, I'm doing my water bit.
I'm going to keep you quiet.
The nurse will tell you why. Your cells need it. And if you...
I shower.
If you have too much water in your system and you're drinking it, and it doesn't matter if you hold it or not, because if you hold it, your kidneys are just going to give yourself a kidney infection or something. But anyways, your cells will basically blow it up. So if you have too much water in your system, that's how you technically drown.
See, she doesn't understand. I only made it to 8th grade health class. That's all I know.
Yeah.
About the anatomy, health, women. What do I know? Whatever I learned in 8th grade health class, that's the last time we talked about it.
Yeah. Never took any biology in high school.
No, of course not.
Okay, moving on to our next story. There's a move in the assembly to try to ban plastic bags. And there were pictures posted a couple weeks ago around the dump when we had a high wind come through and all these trees were just covered in plastic bags. And I hate to see that kind of thing, you know. But they do their best over at the dump there, the folks that work at Casella, to try to get those things collected and taken back. What do you think? Should we be banning them? Should we be taxing them? That's been another proposal that's been...
Iron Mike's has been environmentally conscious about plastic bags from day one.
Okay.
People complain that the plastic bags blow in the trees and they look horrible. So we bought camouflage plastic bags. No problem. Wherever they are, they just blend right in.
Well, okay. I guess that's one solution.
I guess when you go to get groceries, I think that if the people at the checkout wouldn't just put one item in a bag, because sometimes I go get 10 items and I got 10 bags,
uh-huh.
You know, that would cut back a lot of it. But whenever I hear government ban, my antenna go up, and it just, you know, can we live without the government? Yes, we can. We talked about that earlier.
Martin Luther
King. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we can live without the government.
So one of the things that we could do is start using more canvas bags, right?
Yeah.
Canvas bags are what they use in the military all the time.
Yep, we have lots of canvas bags.
Lots of canvas bags here, and you can carry your groceries in them. You don't have to worry about the bags breaking.
Yep.
Even if you put 2 gallons of milk in a bag, they'll still hold it, no problem. And if they get contaminated with, say, meat juice or something like that, you can throw them in the wash.
Don't forget to do that, because on the West Coast...
With your Tide Pods,
yes. On the West Coast,
there was a
problem about a year ago, because they've done that with plastic bags on the West Coast. Some of the cities, San Francisco, they got rid of the plastic bags, and you had to use canvas bags by law. And some people weren't washing their canvas bags, and I think they had an outbreak of some type of...
Salmonella.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing, you know, even the more you try to do the right thing, it turns into a worse thing.
Right.
You know, it's like having an infiltration of mice, so you bring in elephants to squish the mice or whatever.
And they're afraid of mice. Elephants are afraid of mice, right? Remember cartoons?
Right. Right. I watch those cartoons, too.
You know, and then you have an elephant problem.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, they poop everywhere.
No kidding. I didn't know canvas bags could, why not, right, if you don't wash them?
Yeah, if you don't wash them, if you have, like, blood that comes from the meat.
Chicken
you're
and
carrying,
stuff. Yeah.
Right, chicken, things like that. Yeah. The juices get into the bag. I mean, it's a simple thing. Just
that's
to throw
so
them
gross.
In the wash.
I want to go back to plastic now.
No, you don't. Just throw them in the wash, throw them in the dryer, and then throw them back in your car. So you're ready the next time you go grocery shopping.
Yeah. Whatever happened to old paper bags? Is that so bad?
Killing the forest, Tim. Come on.
I don't think paper bags.
But trees grow, right?
Yes, they
trees
do.
Grow, and they
yeah, they're renewable, renewable
resource,
yes. Right.
So it seems like paper is actually really good for the environment because
you start cutting down the rainforest to make paper bags.
Because Tim buys so many groceries on his paycheck.
Right. No, I think it's important to have a good mix out there, whether it be plastic, paper, canvas, so that you do have... I mean, somebody else was pointing out, well, if you do away with the plastic bags, what do you do about all the dog poop? Because a lot of people use the plastic bags to pick up their dog poop and, you know, toss that in the trash. So, you know, it's a handy little use for those plastic bags.
Holy moly, there's another problem.
Yeah, I put cigar butts in mine.
Yeah. I take a shovel and I throw that poop right back over the fence to my neighbor's yard.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He still can't figure out why squirrels poop so much. He doesn't have a dog, in case you didn't figure that out.
Okay. Don Skinner also posted a story this week about multiple food violations at the New York State Fair. There were over 100 food violations found by the New York State Department of Health with the vendors at the New York State Fair. And some of them were kind of minor, and some of them were kind of major. But you would think that these are supposed to be some of the creme de la creme of the food purveyors working at the New York State Fair, that you would have people who know to put gloves on when they're handling food, for instance, or have thermometers that read temperatures properly. And those were the main violations that we were seeing.
You know what I want to do? I want to go, wow. It's hard. So you take a guy who has this modern-day factory with all the things that make it super clean, right? Your workers know where to be. You've got the gloves. You've got the cleaning. Everything is, probably on stainless steel tables and stuff like that. And you take them out to the New York State Fair in the middle of a parking lot, in the middle of some old shack that's some resemblance of a lemonade stand, and you say, hey, show your wares, but be clean. There's cows over here. There's chickens over there. The thruway is driving right by it. But be clean. Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
How do you like that?
I'm not sure.
Kind of on the side of the food purveyor who's forced to go outside to peddle his wares where it's not so clean.
Like in New York State.
Right? Ooh. New York State Fair. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I've been to New York State Fair. It's been a number of years. I haven't gone in recent years.
Yeah, they have these old wood buildings, these old wood shacks.
Structures.
Right off the thruway. They're structures, but they're but they're not a inside your factory, nice and clean, stainless steel tables. You know, they're wooden structures that have been there since my grandpa used to go to the New York State Fair.
I stopped going once they banned tobacco, because there used to be a tobacconist that had a stand that you can go buy some good cigars that had the Connecticut outer wrap to them, which is...
Yeah.
And when I think the first year that Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, came into authority, it was banned. And that's the last time I went. This is going back probably almost 8 years ago.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, it's been about 8 years. Yeah.
That must be why they look at me so funny. They stop me and they go, "Sir, you can't smoke a cigar in here." And I... basically just, I don't smoke as many cigars as I just orally fix on a cigar, put it in my mouth, and when they go, "You can't smoke in here," I go, "It's not lit."
Yeah.
And I touch my face with it, and they go, okay.
Don't
keep
light
going.
It.
I got a cane, too. I mean, are you going to take the cane or the, what?
Yeah, it's a weapon.
I walk around with my cigar in my mouth. Now I know. I didn't know that they banned cigars.
Yeah, so, and cigarettes.
Well, lit cigars.
Tobacco altogether, yeah.
Okay, so they're banning cigars. They're banning cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Cuomo's talking about putting together a group of people to discuss legalizing marijuana in New York State. And it's not just Cuomo doing this. Giambra, who is expected to run against Cuomo, has also called for the legalization of recreational marijuana. And he wants to use taxes on that to pay for New York State infrastructure. So all these bridges and potholes and things of this nature that we're dealing with, he wants to use taxes from the legalization of marijuana to fix those problems.
And who's this guy?
Giambra?
Yeah.
He's out of the Buffalo area.
Yeah.
He's running for governor?
He's talking about it.
He has announced his intentions to run for governor, yes.
Yeah. We still don't know who the guy from Syracuse area is.
DeFrancisco?
Oh,
right, but he hasn't announced either. So there's anticipation that he may run, but he hasn't officially announced. So.
I saw that news article about Giambra. Actually, I think I saw a news clip on television about him. And the first thing that came to mind when he said that the extra taxes can be used for infrastructure was that aren't the taxes already supposed to be used for infrastructure? Where did those monies go?
Exactly.
Like the lottery was supposed to actually fund our schools.
So when you hear
education.
Yeah, when you hear that the bridges are crumbling and the roads are falling apart, you have to blame the people that are currently there, because the laws and regulations are on the book that the money is supposed to be used for those things. And when they ask for more money, it just tells us they're doing a bad job. They're not doing their job properly.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were told when the tolls started on the thruway that those tolls would expire when the bonds got paid off. Well, guess what? The bonds are paid off, and we're still paying tolls.
Yeah.
So never trust what government tells you, folks. Never trust what government tells you.
No. I'm driving the highway to Baghdad every morning. Coming from the airport in the right lane on 390. And if anybody knows what I'm talking about, they just built that road this year. And it's the potholes are so wide, I'm actually going right, left, like I'm dodging, you know, those cones. It, just to get to the thruway where it's a little bit better.
Well, we start smoking pot, we're going to fix that.
I probably won't care about potholes.
you could have a cigar-shaped weed joint at the next state fair. You just tell them it's not a cigar, it's pot.
Right.
They got a name for that, you know. It's called a blunt.
Oh, no, I'm not that informed.
Shame on you, Mike, for bringing that up.
Okay. So we'll change the direction of the show now.
Thanks.
We'll go on to our next story. On top of putting together a group to discuss the legalization of marijuana, the governor is also calling for an opioid tax. And he wants to put a 2 cent per milligram tax on opioids.
That's going to help the addiction
That's going to help the addiction?
Oh, yeah. I'm being facetious.
Oh, she's being facetious. You're not on the microphone, are you? Oh,
right.
That's really going to help the addiction problem we have here.
Right, according to Melissa Walker.
Tax alert.
I thought we were trying to lower the opioid addiction and even the prescription of opioids. So what would you tax if we're anti-opioid?
Right. So what you do is you put a tax on the drug, right? And this worked for cigarettes. They kept raising the tax so high that nobody could afford to smoke anymore, right? So your smoking rates went way down as the taxes went way up.
Right.
So you start out with 2 cents a milligram, and it goes up to 20 cents a milligram, and then it goes up to $2 a milligram, so on and so forth, and pretty soon nobody can afford the drugs anymore.
Except you run to your nearest Indian reservation, and you get the generic version of an opioid.
Well, that may be what we see happening.
Because you get your tobacco there, you get your gas there, right, mm-hmm. tax-free. So why not? Well, I guess they'll have to get into the opioid business to help
right,
us out.
Right. So now the Indians will be selling drugs to us instead of the other way around. So,
boy, talk about getting even.
Wow. Well, yeah, you know, you mentioned taxes, and I don't know if I want to go into this because I could talk taxes forever, you know.
Well, we'll give you 5 minutes. How's that?
Yeah, all right. Cut me off if I start rambling on. Just cut me off, please. In the newspaper, almost every day, there's something about the budget and there's something about Cuomo's proposed income tax changes. And I call it payroll tax poison. If you think about payroll, which are also paycheck taxes, almost everything that comes out is based on the wage that you make. So those paychecks that are getting smaller and smaller are often because more and more is coming out to maintain our government. Our government, in my opinion, is like those drug addicts. They need the fix.
Right. So I was actually looking for somebody who has artistic abilities who could show something like Governor Cuomo shooting himself up. But not with opioids, but with taxes. Because he's addicted to taxes.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if we had one of those editorial cartoonists?
Right.
Yeah. Man.
Right. So if one of you out there in the audience has a skill like that and would like to help us out, we have a lot of great ideas for editorial cartoons that come up.
Yep. You know, so I guess the one tax, because there's four different proposals, the one that I'm going to talk about the most, because in my opinion, none of them make good sense. I throw this one out and then I'll go back to payroll tax. But there's a mention of making charitable contributions as a way to reduce your federal income taxes, and those charitable contributions would be to government agencies. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, if it's charitable and it's not forced and somebody wants to do that, and they can get a federal tax break, I say go for it, because that's from the person's own impetus.
Right.
That person that writes the check to the state agency has taken it upon themselves, and it should be voluntary. But when you start taking, there's a employer payroll wage tax, where the employer is going to kick in money to help the state instead of taking it from the employee and then credits back. And then this is, you know, where I got to agree with Governor Cuomo when he says it gets complicated. But when I hear that, it tells me he can't explain it either. When they use that phrase, it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's to the point where they either don't understand it or we're kind of too stupid to understand it. So, I try to nail it down that I think our government employees that are working for us look at us and say, we've got three strikes against us. So either we're too poor, so the government has to provide us with some type of welfare programs to fill the gap. or we're too sick, so the government wants to provide us with some type of health care program to fill the gap, or we're too stupid.
And rely on government for our education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary, yeah. I think. So, anyway, that's enough of my rant.
Sounds like they want to keep us in a shade of gray.
Uh-huh.
So you're always guessing. You never know really where you stand.
And you got to go to them.
And when you make a mistake that they perceive, you pay.
Yeah. It's kind of like a parent that won't let their kid grow up. What a disservice I would do to my own kids if I didn't teach them how to fend for themselves.
Right.
Yep. So, moving on, we're still talking taxes and tolls, but this is a story by Kent Fletcher. And he's talking about how the city of Canandaigua wants to put toll booths on Main Street, and not on the street, but on the sidewalks, to charge pedestrians to go up and down the sidewalks. Now, Tim, you're looking at me with a confused look on your face. You remember Kent Fletcher?
I do.
Okay, he's our buddy that does the Canandaigua Onion. So obviously this is not a true story, but it's still got some great reactions from the folks who read this and said, "What? Wait a minute. What a way to destroy business downtown and all this kind of stuff." So, and it's funny that you could propose putting toll booths on Main Street in Canandaigua, and people say, "Oh, that's bad for business." But you talk about putting other taxes on, and no, that's good for business. Really? Since when?
You know all those flashing lights on Main Street that the pedestrians use to stop? They should make them a quarter. Got to put a quarter
to cross
the street. So the lights go on, you know, make it so that you can't just hit the button without putting a quarter in like a vending machine, and then the lights go on, and then you got to pay 50 cents to go.
What's the name of that little restaurant across from the crosswalk, and then you, it's not a restaurant, it's a little grocery store. I think it closed.
A little grocery store that closed. Come on, Tim.
Right by the crosswalk on Main Street. And then you go across the road, and you're at that pizza/restaurant, Paisano's or something.
Okay.
So what's that? What's
so
that little
the restaurant that's right there is the Villager.
All right. What's the little grocery store where they serve ice cream? Dairy.
Okay, that's Burn Dairy.
That's on the opposite side
of the street. That has not closed.
Not a point anyway.
Okay.
So one day, when you talk about paying to cross the crosswalk, right? I was over at Burn Dairy. On my way to that restaurant.
Villager.
And this little boy goes, I think he walked across, and he looks up, and I go, "You going into the restaurant?" And he goes, "Nope." And he had to be about 11. He goes, "I finally made it all the way across Main Street. I've never been here before. We've always lived over there. But now we've moved to this side of Main Street in Canandaigua." And he was looking around like he was, you know, stepped off into England. And I just thought, I don't know if I'm proud of him or if I feel bad that his family's never crossed the road. But apparently in his little life, that's the first time that he's been across Main Street on the other side of Canandaigua.
Yeah, it's funny. When we're babies or little children, our world is very small. It's really only the size of the immediate people in our family. And as we get a little bit bigger, our world gets a little bit bigger, right? We start going to school and other places that we knew nothing about. We start to learn about our city. Then as we get bigger, maybe high school, we start traveling outside of our city, maybe for the first time, you know, if you haven't done family vacations and things like that. But our world keeps getting bigger and bigger as we get older and older. And, you know, then eventually it starts to shrink again, and you get caught up in that little nursing home room. And you never leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you leave eventually.
Well, you know, they say you grow old and then you grow young again, and I guess that's the way it goes. But I don't know if you heard, there was a power outage in Cheshire, Bristol, Bluefield, and Naples this week.
Guy called me up. He goes, "Are you open?" I go, "Yeah, I'm open. I answered the phone, didn't I?" Such good customer service over the phone. I go, "Why would you even ask me that?" "Well, the power's out over here in Bristol. I don't want to drive down if you're not open." So, yeah, I verify that.
Yeah, well, apparently it took 2 hours for them to realize that there was no power on because nobody out there uses power.
The ski lift wasn't stuck.
That's a joke, folks.
Bristol people are shaking their fists.
Well, I'm sure the Cheshire Fire Department will be after me shortly. Okay, Kyle Dixon is offering to get rid of your coyote problem, and at no charge. So if you've got a few acres around the town here and you've got coyotes who are bothering you, give Kyle a call and ask him to look at ridding your property of these coyotes. He'd be happy to do so.
You better watch out, Shotzi. She looks a little bit like a coyote.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I trust Kyle knows what he's shooting at when he pulls the trigger.
Oh. Is he like a licensed hunter? What do you need? What credentials do you need to go shoot coyote?
Well, I assume that you have to have your hunting license, so...
Okay.
Coyote, not like deer. I think you can hunt them at night. You can do all kinds of different things to kill a coyote because they're a predator, and then you can a deer. You get away with a lot more, so it's easier to get them. But they are kind of hard to get, and there's money... Usually there's some money in the pelts of a coyote.
Coyote pelts.
There is some money in that. I don't know much about it, but I know there's money in it.
Okay. And do you know how to dress a coyote?
Well, Shachi's got this cute little pink sweater that she wears.
Yeah, no, I've seen...
Because, you know, she's kind of odd. You know, she doesn't really look like a girl, so we have to make her wear pink a lot. You know, but...
Hello, coyote.
Well, you know, we field dress a coyote, I guess, like you would a deer.
That's right, pretty much the same way. So, okay, moving on to our next story. Galisano, we're going back to the tax issue, right? So this week, Galisano was actually on Connections with Evan Dawson. Now, I love Evan Dawson. He does great interviews. He really... hits of probing questions, and he wasn't shy about bringing up Galisano and the geese problem. And Galisano spoke very eloquently about the problem that he's having with the geese. Basically, he says, yeah, I could take care of the geese, but all it's going to do is move this problem down to my neighbor's house. Okay? But I really didn't want to talk about the goose poop problem. What I really want to talk about was his talk about assessments. And the way we get taxed on properties in New York State is New York State, each of your communities has an assessor. An assessor assigns a value to your property, okay? And Tom Galisano's argument is that these assessors, some of them are highly trained, some of them have very little training. There's no mandatory requirements for them to have a certain level of training. Okay, so that's one thing that he would like to change. Another thing he would like to change is, he said he's not proposing it, but one possibility would be changing the assessment so that you're assessed on the square footage of your home instead of on, like, the number of bedrooms have, the number of bathrooms, the so-called quality of your building, because assessors don't go through your house. So when they're assigning a value to your home, it's really kind of a nebulous type of thing. And what Galisano found was that in many cases, properties are underassessed, and in many cases, properties are overassessed. And they're under and overassessed by more than 10% in many cases. So that's quite a range. You know, if the assessments were accurate, you would think that the house would sell, and it would sell within 10% of the value that the assessor put on it. But in many cases, that's not the case. So Tom said, well, one possible solution is to change it so that everybody who has a 1,600-foot home, whether it's a ranch or a cape or whatever it is, would all pay the same amount of tax. And that kind of makes sense. And it kind of makes a little more sense than what our current system is. So what do you guys think?
I've often thought about the whole assessor thing that... you have realtors that value homes for sale based on what the market will bear. And they usually use recent sales. They might go back 12 months, 18 months. So I understand that, okay, I think an assessor is one of those positions that was created that's not really needed because there are other better ways to value a home. And usually realtors do a real good job at that. So why not go by market value, get rid of the assessors altogether, reduce the expense in the scope of our local government, save us some tax dollars, and base it on that? That has always been one of those strange questions in my mind.
Okay, well, supposedly the assessors in each town is using market value to determine the value of your home. They're looking at recent sales in certain neighborhoods, and then they're saying, okay, most of the homes in this neighborhood are selling in this range. And so most of the houses in that neighborhood, we're going to assign a value in that range, too.
Right.
So...
Right, and I guess, you know, right now, if you ever hired a realtor, they're doing the initial appraisal. They don't call it assessment.
No,
and you have banks that do appraisals, too, for mortgage purposes.
Right. So there are differences between appraisals and assessments.
Right.
Okay. Also, realtors generally don't do appraisals or assessments. They do a market analysis.
Correct.
And a market analysis is a little bit different. But again, they're basically all saying this is what the value of your home should be. It should sell in this general range.
Right.
So...
So I you know, I see that service has already been provided by the marketplace more so than having an assessor, which, again, is another, I'm guessing, $40,000 to $60,000 a year job would benefit. So you can add another 25% in things such as retirement plans, medical insurance, blah, blah, blah. So that all comes out of our pocket, people.
Right. And actually, a lot of the assessments today... The assessors aren't even doing the assessments. They're actually being done by computer programs who are looking at recent sales, and the computer makes the calculations. And then the assessor goes through the computations that the computers have made and said, for the most part, yes, 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 yes. And then once in a while, they'll come across an odd property that doesn't quite fit, and they'll say, well, no, the value there isn't quite. So they're not so much assessing every property as they're going through and picking out the ones that don't quite fit the general rules. So you might have one property that's a small house, but it's on a very large parcel of land. So that particular house may not have an accurate value reflected. So,
move along.
Okay, moving along. Thomas Berry, who is our favorite junkyard collector. He'll go around and he'll pick up your junk for you and take it for metal recycling and things like that. He mentioned that his vehicle broke down, and he wanted to compliment the three county sheriffs who showed up. He had an empty gas tank in his car, and they actually pushed his car about a quarter mile down the road to his house. So, you know, you don't see that very often happening with law enforcement, and I want to give a shout-out to the Ontario County Sheriffs for doing that. It's a nice thing to do. What do you think?
Well, what I immediately think, I'm glad they did it. However, you know, in today's world, if they had gotten hurt pushing that car, they're the ones that are out of a job. And there was a tow truck someplace that could have done it. But it's nice that they do it. I'm sure they're all big, strong, strapping, healthy guys. But you got to always remember, when you ask a cop to do a little bit more like that...
Yeah, I'm not sure if they ask the cops I think the cops offer.
Well, they probably want to get that car off the road.
Right.
But if they do that stuff, and they hurt, they're the ones that are out on disability, their jobs are, you know, in jeopardy.
That's probably why you don't see it happen very often.
Very nice that they did it, though.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so it also turned out there's a story this week that Cuka College unearthed a 1963 Martin Luther King speech. And this was actually a commencement address that Martin Luther King gave at Cuka College back in 1963. Now, what I'm wondering is, how did such a speech get lost? How is it that they didn't know where it was? But apparently, they uncovered it just in time for Martin Luther King's celebration, and there was a story written about it. I have not read the speech, so I don't know the contents of it or anything like that yet, but it's one that I want to follow up on and see if I can't get a copy of that speech and, you know, see what nuggets of wisdom Martin Luther King left us that day.
Yeah, he might have said something pertinent to our area.
Right.
Nice.
Right. Okay, so there's a best friends statue on Main Street. Anyone familiar with that one?
Stop. Mm-mm. There's a best friend statue.
Right.
Like a man and his dog.
Actually, two young children. And they are sitting next to each other on a bench with an open book.
I know where it is.
And this is a brass statue that's right near the Niagara Street parking lot, right where, between the chamber and the Simply Crepes.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this statue was donated by the mayor and her husband in memory of her husband. And it sits there, and a lot of people, there was an article written about it. A lot of people have commented on it. Some have said, you know, the kids look cold sitting in the frozen weather, you know, with all the snow, covered in snow and things like that, and they need hats and, you know. So I can see it becoming like the timeout bear down the road here where people start throwing hats and coats and
things
like
that on the kids.
Didn't
somebody do that with a statue outside of the church or the library on the right side as you go down? They put a hat on it.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a woman with some kids?
Yeah, actually, that was Mary Clark Thompson who donated the hospital.
And then a whole bunch of people get upset because they put a hat on the statue?
Yes.
So don't put a hat on a statue. Just drive by and appreciate it, thinking of you and your best friend when you were kids.
Right, right. And there's also a statue down where 5 and 20 runs into 332 at that intersection. Of an Indian family, I believe it is, that are walking along there. It kind of sits back, so it's not easy to spot.
What kind of Indian family? Red dot on the forehead or woo 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 woo?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just want to make sure. No, we'll be politically incorrect today. So.
Why should today be any different?
Right.
You know, I just want to remind people those statues are not real. They're inanimate objects, but the sentiment is great.
Yeah, they really don't get cold, do they?
No, they don't.
Okay. All right. The messenger wants us to apply common sense until the laws are updated on animal cruelty. We had a story this week about a fellow in Leroy who has a bunch of dogs, I think 12 dogs, that are outside most of the time. They're in a fenced-in area, and people... you know, with very loving hearts that care about these animals are saying, oh, they're being abused and, you know, being left outside all day, so on and so forth. So they alert the authorities. The authorities go out. They investigate. They say, no, these animals are perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong with them, so on and so forth. And, you know, maybe the shelter's a little bit run down, but it's really not in bad shape. And the dogs can go into the shelter, so on and so forth. So they ended up with over 200 complaints from these loving people who care about these poor animals, and they ended up taking these dozen dogs away from the owner. So the owner rebuilt the shelter, and the animals were returned to him. So he hasn't abused the animals. But people see these animals outside all day long, and all they can think of is all those poor things. I'm so cold. I would never allow my dog to be out in this weather. And, you know, these dogs shouldn't be either. So.
Well, I know some of the Bavarian people in Canandaigua that have fur all over their bodies are cold. But, you know, dogs have a natural coat of hair, and some dogs actually have a double coat of hair, and they don't even want to be inside. It's
right.
Too hot.
Right. So you get huskies and breeds like that that are used to being outside all day.
But the first authority went over and said, we don't see a problem.
Well,
so somebody gave in to the complaints.
That's right. It was the same authority who went all the time, but they ended up with over 200 people complaining about these poor dogs.
So authority and the regulations are supersided by the popular vote of people who think they're smarter than the authority.
That's right.
Well, that's how you run a state or a town. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. I mean, I'm all for fixing up their little hut, but if the people you hire say it's okay, there shouldn't have been a question. And you know what? I guess I don't remember those 200 people running over with wood and nails and hammers and saying, let us help you fix that up. No, but it's, you know, let's type up another review on Yelp.
Okay. All right. Our next story has to do on the Ontario County Fair. They're celebrating their 175th county fair in Ontario County in 2018. So they're saying if you have anything, old memorabilia or like that, that you'd be willing to not necessarily give to them, but donate for a period of time, let them use. They'd like to collect all these old things from the fair from many years ago and use that to celebrate their 175th year. So what do you think? Got anything sitting around from the county fair, Ontario County Fair?
I'll look.
Okay.
I might.
Yeah. So check out your closets and whatever, and we'll see what we got. I want to go on to the events that are coming up. St. Mary's has an open house. They're coming. Coming up here, you'll get an opportunity to visit the classrooms and observe the classes in session. That's going to be on Tuesday, January 30th, from 9:30 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And then they also have an open house where you can tour the whole facility on Sunday, January 28th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you're going to 9 o'clock Mass, probably right after 9 o'clock Mass, you can head over there and check out the school. Now, I actually graduated from St. Mary's. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but it's been a long time since I've been in the school, and I'm going to see if I can't get over there and tour the facility.
Want me to flip the lights on? Open light?
Yeah, we're on the air. All right.
Okay, so moving on, our next story is about the third annual Wild Game for the Big Game. And here you can learn how to process a variety of wild game, such as coyotes, deer, geese, right? They're going to eat wild game dishes and share recipes. The cost is $15 for a child, $20 for an adult. The proceeds are going to benefit the Montezuma Audubon Center. And to learn more about this gathering, this is the third annual one, by the way, just call 315-365-3588. And that's going to be January 27th. Okay. We also learned this week, Officer K-9 Fennel is going to get body armor. So, of course, Officer Fennel is a dog, K-9, and he is getting a vest which will protect him from gunshots and stabbings. There is a vested interest in canines, which raises funds for these vests. So far, they've provided over 2,800 of these vests and spent over $2.4 million, which you're saying, wow, that sounds like quite a bit of money. That works out to about $857 per vest for the dogs. And when I checked online, that seems to be pretty much the going rate for a decent vest to protect a dog from gunshots. And so they're donating this body armor to Officer Fennel.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a very good organization and one worthy of donations. And on our final topic, we're going to talk about short-term rental regulations. Now, we've all heard of Airbnb. Are you familiar with that?
Well, Melissa asked me, does that mean an airport or airplane bed and breakfast?
Right, so it does not mean that.
Okay? Oh, it does not?
No. So,
what's an Airbnb?
A standard B&B. We have some on Main Street in Candago, like the Red Door Inn, I think, is one of them.
I stayed on the one on the right side, the greenhouse with the white
lattice work. Oliver Phelps one, or yep. I know there are a few on Main Street in Canandaigua, and these are standard B&Bs, and you go there, you spend, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars to stay in a nice room in a nice house, historic house, and then they serve you breakfast in the morning. It's usually a several-course breakfast, right? So if you've stayed in one, you know what the experience is like.
It was fun.
Yeah.
They left, went home. There I was in a huge house all alone. Didn't know where anything was. That was fun. Next morning, I got my Danish. But the house was nice and quiet for a huge house without a TV. Yeah, I had a good time.
Okay. So people are saying, you know, I'd like to stay, let's say, in Canandaigua during graduation time. Okay? But usually during graduation time, that's when all the hotels are filled up. Right? You can't find a hotel room anyplace. So people are saying, well, why don't I rent out my house? I don't have to be here during that time period. I can go visit my sister and stay with my sister for a few days and rent my house out over that weekend, make a little extra money. So that's what people attempt to do. And the way they do that is they use a service called Airbnb. Now, they can also do it by advertising their property on Facebook or something else like that. But basically what you're doing is you're doing a short-term rental. And what the city of Canandaigua is saying is that we have no regulations when it comes to short-term rentals. And this is something that we need to regulate because this is becoming a more common practice and it can create problems. Like in a neighborhood, you have a nice residential neighborhood and you don't know from one weekend to the next who's going to be living next door to you. Because every weekend, your neighbor is renting out their house to some new people, and apparently, occasionally, people will rent houses to have underage drinking parties or things of this nature. So say, oh, wait a minute, we got to put brakes on that. We're going to have to come up with some kind of regulations. We're going to have to inspect these properties to see how safe they are, so on and so forth. So right now, it's in the very early stages. They haven't made any decisions yet about how much regulation they want. Some of the council members seem to favor very little regulation. Other ones think they ought to be highly regulated. So we'll have to see how that works out in the end.
It's amazing. I don't know what way to think. I really don't.
Well, in my particular case, I'm always in favor of less government regulation. So I would favor the city keeping their noses out of people's business. If they can make a few extra bucks renting their house out, God bless them. With our high taxes in this state, anything that you do to make a few extra bucks, well, I'll stop short of saying that, not anything. But if you can rent out your house and make a few extra dollars to help cover the high taxes that we pay in this state, well, God bless you.
Well, there you go. That's our show for today, right?
Right.
Yep. I want to thank everybody. Armin Marinetti from Civil War Radio, Melissa Walker, our videographer, and Michael Yarger from Canandaigua 2020, and myself, Corporal Tim Thornton. And we hope everybody has a great weekend. And it should be a little warmer.
Warming up this weekend, that's right. Yep. So all the snow will start to melt.
So what do you always say, Melissa?
Peace out.
And Sunday morning, if you want to stop at the American Legion, or the Sons of the American Legion are doing our monthly breakfast starting at 8:30. So stop by, have some scrambled eggs, home fries, bacon. They did gravies, biscuit and gravies last month, and that went over really well.
Are they going to do it again?
Yeah, I think so. It has a little bit of sausage in the gravy.
Yeah.
And people really like that. So that's 8:30 Sunday morning. The 21st, stop in and say hi.
And what's the cost for that?
It's $8.
And that's open to the public.
Open to the public.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
I really
got it. All you can eat.
Yeah. Got to get me and Ronnie on that.
Yeah.
We'll change that all you can eat thing.
I got to run. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Have a good
Bye.
Week.
Take care.
On and tuning in. Thank you, folks, for turning on and tuning in.
Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming.
grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy to Chic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy to Chic Pet Spa.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been on? Welcome, enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hector Mono Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
I came home on leave and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
Another tactical to practical moment has been brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Camouflage netting was designed to cover up military buildings, tents, tanks, and artillery. Ah, but backstage side, at home, in your backyard, it's the perfect shade for the family patio or deck, or a dog kennel. It's a great blind for hunting duck and deer and to cover up that boat or tree stand. Perfect for a backstage drop for your next theatrical performance, or airsoft and paintball scenario games. Iron Mike's camouflage netting comes with or without reinforced net backing. 100% waterproof, rot and mold resistant, quiet and rustle free, textured for a more natural look, UV and non toxic treated to prevent glare and shine. Reversible for different color options to best fit the environment. Pliable even in extreme temperatures. Comes in several sizes. 10x10, 10x20, 8x10, 8x20, and 4x10. And camouflage netting comes in many colors. Woodland, desert, dead duck, snow, and many more. This tactical to practical moment was brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua.
Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
This has been a Combat Radio production of Three Men and a Microphone. Check us out every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on WOKR 1310 and our encore performance every Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4 p.m. And I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts, Armin Marinetti, Civil War Radio, Melissa Walker, our videographer, and from Canandaigua, Facebook 2020, Mike Yarker. And I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, and thank you for listening to our show, and we'll see you on the flip side, and be good.